This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Gabe Eichard, former OU football player, SiriusXM, talks Big 12 football. Frequent guest of the show, joins us now on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Gabe, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, boys. How's it going?
Oh, it's great. We were talking search firms earlier. South Carolina has hired a search firm to go and try to find a list of candidates that would be suitable to interview for the South Carolina head football coaching vacancy. And we were discussing, not really debating, but discussing why an athletic department would need a search firm to go and look for a coach. Feels like that this day and age, you could probably reach out to that big football network, fraternity of coaches and people around the game, and probably get you a pretty good list and not have to pay a dime.
That would make entirely too much sense. I mean, guys, us three, we would make a tremendous search firm. It's not that difficult for South Carolina. I mean, you're in the SEC East. You've got pretty cool jerseys. You've got great facilities. Can't be that hard to find someone that wants to make a ton of money to coach football for you. Search firms have to be the biggest ripoff on planet Earth.
All right, Gabe. So there are a lot of people that are continuing to walk down the road of Texas maybe needing a search firm at the end of this season. It hasn't been a miserable year, but do you think that's realistically on the table, a coaching change in Austin?
Not according to Tom Herman, right? He had some very interesting comments, Cole, earlier this week. You know, talking about how great his relationship is with their athletic director, Chris Del Conte. And he also went on to complain about how people writing mean articles about them, hurting them in recruiting. And I was just like, hey, man, how about we win some more games and you won't have to worry about those things. But I don't think his job is in jeopardy. And realistically, they control their own destiny to get to the Big 12 championship game. I mean, they still have Iowa State and Kansas State left on their schedule. They get Kansas this week. So, I mean, that barely even counts as a football game. So they're in a pretty good spot to get some things done this year, Cole. Now, I know it's not where Texas fans want to be, and I don't think a lot of Texas fans particularly like Tom Herman, but I don't expect to see a new head coach for Texas next season. You got to remember, they're doing a lot down there, and I know Texas has more money than God, but they are still dealing with all the financial ramifications of the pandemic, all those things. But, yeah, he needs to have a nice little stretch here to finish the season. And he's referred to it as a four-game stretch to finish the season. They only got three games left on their regular season schedule. So, Cole, I think he thinks his team can get to a Big 12 championship game. We'll see. But I don't expect Tom Herman to lose his job.
Talking about this weekend, you got Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Kansas State. A lot's going to be decided about who's going to potentially play for that Big 12 championship. Just your thoughts on those two matchups and who you think's going to come out on the better end of the stick.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma's playing the best football in the Big 12 right now. They've gotten some key pieces back off suspension. And those guys have made a big difference, right? Offensively, Ramondre Stevenson has brought life to Oklahoma's running game and made a huge difference for them. And then defensively, Ronnie Perkins getting a guy of that caliber back on the edge of that defense has been big for them. But, yeah, the surprise for Oklahoma is the defensive line. Probably been their most consistent, well, definitely, has been their most consistent unit on the entire football team, not something. But I think OU is playing the best out of anybody in the conference right now, and I think they're going to win Bedlam. They get Oklahoma State in Norman. Oklahoma State's been a little banged up, and the reason I like Oklahoma is just Oklahoma State, there's just been too much inconsistency at the quarterback position from Spencer Sanders. And he has been an up-and-down football player just like he was last year. Now, to his defense, his offensive line has been very poor at times. They've had to shuffle a lot of guys. They've had a couple guys go down for the year. So it has been a patchwork group up front for the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and they haven't given Spencer Sanders the best protection at points in time. But, yeah, I like the Sooners in that game. And then I think Iowa State and Kansas State are two teams going in opposite directions. I think Kansas State, they're finally feeling the absence of Skylar Thompson, their veteran quarterback who was lost for the year about a month ago. And Will Howard, a true freshman that has stepped in for them at quarterback. He can do some nice things, especially with his legs. Kid's athletic, big, talented kid, but they've just been really limited offensively, been limited in the run game. And I just think that Iowa State is playing better football on both sides. And Iowa State probably has got the best player in the country that a lot of people down in y'all's neck of the woods has not heard of, and that is a running back named Breece Hall. And I know you guys know who Breece Hall is, but just a reminder, he's leading the nation in rushing. He's the only guy, I think he may still be the only guy, that's over 1,000 yards already on the season. And he has been the best player in the Big 12 Conference this year. He's been absolutely fantastic to watch. So I like Iowa State in that one. I think Kansas State has run into some problems. And then I like Oklahoma and Bedlam, boys.
All right, Gabe, now that we've seen a pretty good sample size of the Big 12 and have a pretty good idea of who these teams are in 2020, who's been your biggest disappointment so far coming out of that conference?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I expected Texas Tech to take a bit of a jump, and it's just been, I mean, it's been a really up and down year for Matt Wells and the Red Raiders. They just haven't been able to figure it out really on either side of the ball. They've done some better things defensively, but you know, I feel like one thing you feel like you can always count on Texas Tech is for them to have a quarterback that can kind of sling it around, and they just haven't had that. Alan Bowman got hurt, they came back, got benched, they've gone with Henry Columbia. He had one very confusing win against West Virginia, where you look at that one in hindsight, and you're like, wait, how did that happen? But, yeah, I'd say it's not a very exciting answer. I know a lot of people probably think, well, maybe it's Texas with the two losses. But, yeah, it's actually been Texas Tech for me. And then Baylor, I didn't really have expectations for them coming in the year. New staff so much off the team from a year ago, put in a really tough spot. And then you factor in the COVID issues that they have had. I mean, on the one had more interruptions, you know, where they've had to stop and then start up than Baylor. So I'd say Tech and Baylor are probably the most disappointing in my mind.
I want to go back to something you said about Tom Herman, and I just wanted to gauge your level of sympathy for him when he states that the Urban Meyer to Texas rumors make his job very difficult. I know you probably were – you probably spent a lot of time just sort of reflecting as to how bad you felt for Tom Herman after that.
Yes, I spent many hours, Cole, many hours weeping for Tom Herman. Listen, like, okay, I played for a guy in Bob Stoops where, I mean, excuses just weren't an option, right? I mean, the guy wrote a book, the title of it is No Excuses. Like, that's how I grew up in football, right? And I just don't understand Tom Herman sometimes and the strategy he takes. Like, every single week, he mentions that they weren't able to have spring ball, that they had to do everything by Zoom in spring, and they had to do some of that stuff in training camp and how difficult it is. Tom, everyone had to do that. And then he talks about, well, we've got new coordinators. Man, you're the guy that fired your coordinators. Like, no one feels bad for you. You've got some of the best facilities in America. You've got one of the best recruiting footprints in America. You've got a program where you get everything you need. I don't want to hear any more excuses from Tom Herman. I especially don't want to hear that recruiting is hard because there's Urban Meyer rumors. And, I mean, Tom Herman this week, he went after guys that covered the team for writing critical articles instead of making their recruiting difficult. It's like, man, you should only talk about your team, your staff, your program. Don't criticize writers that are writing critical articles. I mean, come on, man. You're getting paid a ton of money. Listen, the way to solve all of Tom Herman's problems is for Texas to win more football games. That's it. I don't want to hear the excuses. Man, just get it done. And I don't think the Texas fans want to hear the excuses. I think they're sick of it. Like, everyone's dealing with a bunch of stuff this year in college football. You don't see all these other people complaining every single time you put a microphone in front of their face. I just don't understand his strategy, and I don't think it's playing well with that fan base. I think it's annoying them more than anything, Cole.
Not that anybody cares, but how long do you think Les Miles will be given his time in Lawrence? I mean, when would they say enough is enough and they're going to try something else?
The sooner the better, because I saw Kansas play in their last, and boys, I have never seen a college football team look less interested in playing a football game. I've never seen it. It was unbelievable. I talked about it on the OU radio broadcast. I was standing right over next to their sideline, and the lack of energy on that sideline was shocking. And that was the biggest indictment for me of Les Miles is this. And I know losing's tough, especially this year. The kids are having to go through all the protocols, and it's not fun. Like, I understand that, but I mean, where's the fake energy? Where's the false enthusiasm? I mean, guys, Spencer Rattler threw an interception on one of the first drives of that game. Like, their defense forced a turnover, and their sideline did not react at all. The only people that were excited, that celebrated, were the coaches. I mean, the players, it was like they'd just given up a touchdown. I'd never seen anything like it. It was beyond weird. And I know that they've been trying to get out of a, you know, scholarship hole for a long time with some of the things that previous coaches did there at KU, but I never understood the hire. It never made sense to me. I don't know why they did it, and maybe it was to sell more tickets, and maybe that worked, but this year, clearly, with the capacity limits, like, that's not even something that they can point to and say, yeah, this is working well. I mean, it is an absolute disaster in my mind, guys. I don't know what his buyout is. I'm sure it's a lot because coaches have great agents, and that's how it works. But, yeah, it is not working. It is not working for Les Miles and Lawrence. It's bad.
All right, Gabe, if we go national picture, coming up this weekend, number 9, Indiana, taking on number 3, Ohio State. Have you seen enough from Ohio State to, I don't know, maybe just get an idea? If you compare this Ohio State team to last year's Ohio State team, based on what you've seen so far, do you believe that they are one of the best or the top 3 teams in college football?
I do, and I think it's, you know, we have, right, a very limited sample size, like you mentioned, but you just know the type of talent that Ohio State has on both sides of the football. Got one of the best players in all of college football in Justin Fields, a guy that, you know, with that athleticism and his ability to throw the football, I mean, they just got dudes, right? And I think they especially are going to have a huge advantage in this football game against Indiana at the line of scrimmage, right? Cole, no one watches O-lines closer than you do, and Ohio State's got some players up front. It seems like every year they have an edge defender that's going to go in the top 10 of the draft. Looks like the Harris kid may be that this year for them. But the reason, and I guess you could consider this a measuring stick game for Tom Allen and the Hoosiers, but I expect it to be, you know, kind of entertaining and close, maybe even in the first half. And then I expect Ohio State's depth and overall talent to take over in the second half and for them to win by, you know, four touchdowns or so, because, you know, Michael Penix, Ty Freifogel, like that offense, they can do some good things. They're entertaining. Man, I like watching Penix play, but they can't run the football. And you're not going to go into the horseshoe and make it interesting when you can't run the football. And I just don't see it going very well for Indiana. And I know we haven't seen much of Ohio State, but you know the talent is there. I'm a big believer in Ryan Day. You know he'll have his team ready to go. And I think that team's on a mission this year, and it doesn't look like anyone there in the Big Ten is going to get in their way. So I hope it's an entertaining game, but I think that that's going to be one that we're changing the channel in the third quarter, boys.
He's Gabe Eichard, host there on SiriusXM Big 12 Today, former OU football player. Gabe, we always appreciate it, man. Enjoy the weekend. Big weekend, not only in the Big 12, but all over college football.
Boys, have a tremendous weekend. They're still playing college football. Let's go.
Amen. Amen. Gabe Eichard joining us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline, at easy drinking hard seltzer. Just 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.
This is Three Man Front.